Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by the other one.
Hello, Swath Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good. I'm riding high off some fun weekend wrestling.
How do you think your review is going to go down? Because the general consensus among the WrestleTalk audience is that Raw is the worst, it's the dirt worst, and anyone who likes it is a dirt worst idiot. So how do you think your review is going to go down today?
I'm curious. I think people like it when people enjoy stuff. And I think I argued it okay enough where people would at least be like, okay, if he enjoyed it. Because I'm not saying this is why you should think it was a really good show.
But you've got to remember, this is YouTube and they won't see the difference.
I have faith in the Swath Nation.
I have faith in the Swath Nation. I don't think I have faith in YouTube comments.
In the larger YouTube comments. They're a small portion. Just
they really are a small
portion.
Vocal. Absolutely.
We got some new analytics software the other day, folks. And we're always like, you know, we see those dislikes on YouTube videos are really like nipple cripples,
yeah,
or a little Chinese burn. Like, oh, it's like, oh,
you try and you spend quite a bit of time trying to work out the ratio.
Well, not quite up. A bit of time. I can look at the two
all the time. It's like, it's a good like half your day.
And you look at this video's had 95 thumbs down. I'm like, oh, it's like 95 people have just told me didn't like that.
Yeah. It's kind of giving you a dead arm.
I didn't like that enough to click a button, which is like actually quite a lot of effort, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally.
And but you know, like that video will have 3,500 thumbs up, but you don't look at those. But this new analytics software, it says like what the percentage is automatically and it gives you colours. So if it's in the 90s, it's green. If it's in the 80s, it's kind of goes a little bit yellow. And then, like, if you're in the 50% where as many people press thumbs down as thumbs up, it's like a red. It's a danger zone. You don't want to be there. But, yeah, we're pretty much 97%.
Across the board.
Which made me feel good.
Good. Well, I'm very glad.
I've got a renewed faith in YouTube comments in the community.
Shall we pay that good feeling forward?
Yes.
Because we had an email in, or rather you had an email in, asked from someone who has got a bit of a shout out that they would like us to give.
Yeah, so they first got in touch back in June, which was a while ago.
Yes.
And they were like, hey, we're going to Super Showdown. My friend is a real big fan. And, you know, he watches you consistently.
Yep, excellent wedgies.
And I was like, okay, I'm not going to remember to do this. So just get in touch nearer the time around Super Showdown week. And it's this chap's birthday. So I would like to say, along with Luke, happy birthday, Adam Hodge, for this Saturday.
For October 6th. You are actually going to Super Showdown on your birthday. And it said that they tried to contact WWE and the Cricket Ground, but they didn't get back in touch because they are dirt-worth rubbish people, but not your boys.
Oh, yeah.
Not your boys over at WrestleTalk. We care about the Swath Nation. We care about your Swath birthday.
Yeah, that was from Chanel Fuldagli. Fuldagley.
Fun name.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people have also asked us, I've seen this a lot on comments, asking if we're going to Super Showdown.
Yeah.
Do people think we're Australian?
Or that we have a big budget. But yeah, we have been asked more about Super Showdown than
any
normal
other
WWE pay-per-views. So they must know that we're based.
Yeah.
Not in
the US.
Not in the US. So apparently Australian accents are quite close to English accents to the untrained ear.
Well, it's because they're all the criminals we sent over there back in the 1800s or whatever it was.
Yeah, they're effectively our rough younger brothers. But they're real good fun.
They are.
Top bants. And just, you know, just they just accept racism. So in a prior job, I used to do live sports and sort of manage the transmission of live sports.
Yeah.
And we would do the Australian football stuff,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Yeah.
It's just a bundle. It's like 40 people running around a massive field, throwing stuff.
Just kicking hell at each
other. It's great. It's really, really fun. But it was like whatever their version of national or like honouring Aborigine People Day. I can't remember what the name of the day is. And they got some kids out who were, you know, from native families. And to just like do a thing in like a song or something in the middle of the pitch at halftime, and the commentators were openly making fun of them. Openly making fun
no
of them.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing like awful, but something that you would not expect to, you know, like if you, because so much sport nowadays is very PR focused and image focused. That the charity segments on WWE are a prime example of that. So, like, just imagine if that happened. Imagine if the commentators started making fun of the Connors Cure kids from last week.
Yeah.
That would be awful.
It'd be the worst.
Like, that's not what I'm advocating.
It's what you did last week.
I'm saying don't break kayfabe. I'm not making fun of the kids or their plights. I'm making fun of WWE for presenting them that way. But I cannot make that more clear. And I'm not on the side of evil. I'm on the side of program continuity. And but yeah, like they were just very open about just making fun.
Well,
making fun, like she's not very good, is she? You know, then just bits like that. And I, because like part of my job,
are you trying to say it was like Craig Charles on Takeshi's Castle?
It was essentially that, yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like, shall I, you know, put up an apology? Because I had the power to put up the strap that goes apologies for that language used.
Yeah.
But yeah. We didn't.
We did.
Because it was just like, no one's watching, hopefully.
Right, well, before we crack on with the show, would you like a WrestleTalk Get Better?
Always.
From me.
Yes.
Because I did another park run this weekend. So if you're new to the show, you didn't hear last week's, I did a park run where it's a 5K thing. It's sort of a national... I didn't even know it was really a thing. Apparently it's been going for a number of years now. But essentially you just go down to a park and you do a 5K run and you get timed on that and you can kind of like sort of track how well you're doing. And I did it last week and Ollie Davis more or less made fun of my time.
I was just unimpressed.
Massively unimpressed with the fact that I ran a 5K for the first time ever, which is quite a big achievement. It's difficult to do, man.
No, because you could walk it.
Yeah, but running is harder, isn't it? Running exerts more energy.
Based on that time, I don't think you ran very much of it.
I ran pretty consistently. I only stopped to walk once, twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, twice.
Like half the thing. Then you stopped to walk once.
No.
For 4 kilometres of it.
But I did it again. Again, I did have to stop and walk twice because it's hard. It's hard running 5K.
Got to build it up.
But I actually had proper shoes this time, which certainly helps. And my time was 31:29, which is a 4-minute improvement on my time last time.
And that's what Get Better is all about. It's about improvement, not where you start, no matter how unimpressive that starting point is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the fact that you're improving.
Yep.
Well done, Luke. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you very much. So let's
I've got to get better.
Have you now? Let's certainly have your get better.
Well, I've been famously lethargic for about 3 months. I've done no physical exercise.
Yeah.
I think it's because I'm stressed about the studio move.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm looking for excuses. But, I did my first DDP yoga.
Oh, yes, Sunday. You did. Yes, yeah. I remember, because you and I were talking about this at the Progress show.
Yeah.
So tell me about it.
Superstar. So I didn't do it with
You're DDP. A dead man or a woman.
I went because I only had 20 minutes, really. So I went for the 20-minute workout, and the only one of 20 minutes was with this guy called Hayden.
Mm-hmm.
He must be one of their instructors. Yeah, we did a thing in my front room. I got sweaty.
Yeah, man, like, you all sweat. This ain't your mama's yoga.
No, way more than normal yoga, I sweated.
It's because it's a workout. It's not like yoga.
Dynamic resistance.
Exactly, yeah. Well, like, yoga is really all about, like, finding your inner center and aligning your chakras and whatever stuff. The stuff that was, like, when yoga was first invented is what it was all for, is about. Not just aligning your spine, it's aligning yourself. But DDP yoga is all about, no, it's a workout. Like, we do yoga, but it's also a workout. So you will sweat.
Yeah.
I've got the Extreme DVD.
Oh, wow. Is that a porno?
Comes in a black case.
Cool.
And it's just like, it just says in the back, warning, you will sweat.
So that's, it's obviously marketed.
I've not taken it out. It's too scary.
It's obviously marketed to...
Blokes.
Yeah.
Blokes. You don't want to do that girls' yoga stuff, do you? With all the stretching and chakras. No, mate. I want to work out. I want to get bigger muscles. DDP yoga, he's a bloke, isn't he?
Yeah.
And there's always blokes around there. And they align it in such a way on the DVDs where the blokes do the hard version of it, and they have one woman there that will do, like, the modification zone. Where it's like, if you want to be a bloody woman, you do the modification zone, don't you? But you want to be a bloke like DDP, you do the man's version.
Well, I think there's more than enough female yogas out there. So this is catered to the male market. And case in point, the names. I was very struck by the names.
Mm-hmm.
Superstar. Touchdown. Which is, these are just, I can't remember their yoga names, but it's...
Yeah.
These have... Well, Warrior One is still used. Cobra is used in DDP.
Yep.
Down Dog. But, the other ones that, like, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. He has fun names.
Yeah, he does, yeah. Well, that's like, Dead
Hulk
Man.
It out!
Yeah, you got to Hulk it out. Like Dead Man, which is where you just sort of lie on your back. That, he gives that, the term Dead Man, because it's an Undertaker thing.
And that's like Pranyasa or something.
Yeah, and like there is, he does a warrior pose, but he calls it the Road Warrior.
Nice.
Because it's all about, he's targeted towards wrestling fans who are going to pop for those sorts of things.
There's Pinfall as well.
Yeah, that's it. Pinfall's another one, yeah.
Lying on your back.
Yep, good stuff. I tell you what, I think we should probably head into the main show. And then actually coming out of the podcast, we might give our thoughts on Progress.
Oh, yes.
And our experiences there. So we're going to be kicking off the show talking about the excellent end to the show with Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker, Triple H and Kane. Here's the show.
Where the main event of last night, a show that I thought was very, very good. I mean, if you've already watched my 4 minutes review by now, which was more like 6 minutes, or in about 7.5 minutes, then you'll know I rather liked it. But yes, this was just like the cherry on top, a lovely serve of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, one of the best go-home segments WWE have done in years.
Such a shill for WWE.
I'm on the payroll. and that's... Like, that's not as complimentary as it sounds. That's more of a damnation of how lackluster WWE go-home shows are. But for Super Showdown this Saturday, I thought that the main feuds, not Ronda Rousey really, were absolutely terrifically built. And yeah, this main event angle of Kane and Undertaker appearing, you get the face-off, you get Shawn Michaels' first proper big back bump in a decade, well, 8 years. Fantastic. Stuff.
Yeah, it was a really, really great angle. What was great about it as well was it was in its simplicity.
Yes.
It was a rambly Shawn Michaels promo and then some music, lads in the ring, do some moves, do your big spots, and then you leave. And it was so simple. But because all four of them are just these ginormous stars, it just felt so much bigger than a rambly promo, some music and some moves.
Mm.
Like, it felt so much more epic than that because it was so beautifully simple. And when you build stars and when you promote stars like these larger than life, God, you've just got to see these people have a match. Simple segments like this feel awesome. Yeah. And it really, and damning's a very good word to put it there, really, because it shows that they know how to do this. They could do it with all of their current crop of stars. They just only they only choose to do it with their nostalgia acts.
Mm. Yeah, because sure, a large part of the appeal and why this feels so big time is because of the names in the ring. Shawn Michaels coming back, Kane coming back, and you've got, you know, 3 decades. Someone wrote that you've got 200 years, over 200 years worth of age in that main event angle.
Wow.
With Kane, Undertaker, Triple H and Michaels. Mm-hmm. And I think 100 years, just over 100 years of WWE careers between them.
Wow.
Like, so
yeah, it's big.
That's a lot of context that's going into this feud. And that is the largest part of this. But also, it is not overexposing these guys in the build-up. Each player has been very tactfully deployed over about 2 months now, because it started getting promoted at SummerSlam. So it's more like 6-7 weeks to this Super Showdown match for the whole build. And making these guys not on the program every week like we get for everyone else, it makes them feel special. And like you said, I wish they did that. As amazing as this is, it's an insular loop of 4 guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to go, and it's not really going to build anyone new.
Yes.
So that's a sour note, but like the sweet deliciousness of this is so overpowering. This week I'm not down on that.
I was going to say, I mean, you compare the build that this match has had compared to Bellas and Rousey versus the Riot Squad, where for the last 7 weeks we have just seen that match already just in various different combinations. And I'm so less enthused about that match. Like, I'm not sure. I think I probably care about that match less than I do Asuka and Naomi versus the Iconics.
Whoa, come on.
Or, yeah.
It's not that bad.
No, I think I care about that match. I think I care about the Iconics match more. Because at least the Iconics are on home turf. They've got the advantage there.
And that'll be interesting. See if they can get the same heat that Elias got this week.
Oh, we'll talk about that. I'm much less enthused about this. The build to this has just been so brilliant, though, because you had that first week where it was like all the legends making their picks. And the story has kind of spun out of that start. Mm. It wasn't just they did that randomly. The match has almost been built off of those comments. Because Undertaker, like Shawn Michaels' promo was about how everyone else has picked the Undertaker. I'm picking Triple H. And that brought out the Undertaker, who then almost challenged him to be like, you know, you've retired out of fear. And that's now sparked Shawn Michaels to be in Triple H's corner, which has sparked The Undertaker to bring Kane into his corner. And that's then built to this angle. So all of this is just like played out. It makes perfect sense. And it's built very nicely to a match that I'm actually quite looking forward to this week.
I'm very much looking forward to this. And I've been saying this for weeks. This is the best built feud WWE.
Yeah.
Like they haven't really, apart from sometimes, like you said, Shawn Michaels' promos do go on a bit.
And Taker's promo. Remember that rambly promo that Taker did?
Yeah. So, like, those bits.
Yeah.
But you don't remember those bits overall. You remember that each of those segments has not ended on that rambly continuation. It's ended on a big, hot moment at the end of it. Like
absolutely.
Taker's line or Triple H's lines.
Or choke slams.
Or choke slams here. Yeah, so what happened was Shawn Michaels was cutting his rambly promo and lights cut out. Well, lights didn't cut out, but Kane's music hit. And then he appears behind Michaels in the ring. And then Undertaker also appears after a dong.
The dong goes off.
Yeah.
Yep. And he's in the ring as well with him.
And that was like, I didn't expect that to happen. I kind of thought,
it might just be a Kane appearance. Yeah.
I thought all 4 guys were going to appear for this. But I thought Taker might appear at the top. You know, you've already had someone appear behind.
Yep. That was really nice. That was a really nice touch.
Yeah, it was just a nice little tweak to how they usually do things.
And that moment was really, really sweet as well. And then like they just started knocking down Michaels. And it's weird because the last time I might be wrong on this one, so I'm ready for people to correct me in the comments. I can already feel their fingers getting twitchy.
Yeah, they're
warming them up.
Stretching out the index.
They're ready to fire up Google, find out the right answer, and then pretend they already knew the answer.
They knew the answer already, Luke.
But I think
the SWAF Nation are very educated.
I think the last time Michaels took a bump in a WWE ring was in that angle with Daniel Bryan.
That's what I was going to say, but I wouldn't be foolish to hang my hat on that in a YouTube video.
So I think that's the last time. I might be wrong. I'm willing to be wrong on that one. So we don't get to see. So when Michaels took that bump and when he took the choke slam, I was like, whoa.
The choke slam was really big.
It was big. And
then went up high.
They did like Triple H's music hit. I thought it was the wrong Triple H music to pick. Rather, you want the game, really, rather than the King of Kings one. His business theme tune.
He was in the suit, though.
Oh, is that what it is? So when he's in his trunks, that's when you get the game.
Sometimes. There's no real consistency. Yeah. At the moment, he is.
He's business Triple H. He's NXT Triple H.
But that is part of the story.
He sold his soul. Absolutely, yeah. And then Triple H runs down, and he starts like firing up on both the guys. And then the numbers advantage gets the better of him. Dual choke slams to Triple H and Shawn Michaels. And then just as Taker and Kane are leaving the ring, Taker just looks around and is like, no, I'm going to school him, as the Attitude Era podcast would often say, and spin him up. Tombstone pile driver to Triple H, left both guys laying, left them both in the ring, just trying to like hold on to each other as Kane and Undertaker posed on the stage. I thought it was a really cool ending. And they promoted the heck out of this throughout the show. Like, there wasn't 5 minutes wouldn't go by without Michael Cole reminding us that Shawn Michaels will be here later on, and then Corey goes to talk about how excited he is that Shawn Michaels is going to be here. They teased and teased and teased and promoted the heckins out of this, and it really paid off at the end.
Have you noticed that Cole's got a new gimmick?
Oh no. Yeah, I love it when Cole gets a new gimmick.
Yeah. So someone will say something like, hey, 2K19 is out next week. Cole will say that. Like, he'll say, 2K19's out next week. Make sure you pre-order it now. And then someone else will say, it looks really good. I can't wait to play it. And then Michael Cole just look into the camera and say, pre-order it now. So he'll say the last line that he already said in the plug again, just for emphasis. And he did it with Super Showdown.
Oh, yeah?
Where he was like, you know, it's going to be at 9 a.m. Oh, no.
It's gonna, 5 a.m.
5 a.m. or whatever for Americans. And Renee Young is like, and if you want to watch it at a normal hour, you can just go to the WWE Network and catch it there. And then Michael Cole goes, but it's also at this time that I've already said. It's obviously he's being told to hammer these points home.
Exactly,
but
it's
awful. I don't like. But where were we? Shawn Michaels' hat. It stayed on for so long. He was on the floor. How did... Did the band have adhesive?
Well, I think he had like, because he was wearing like a little headband thing as well. I thought it was Velcro. And he just like, and it was just Velcro on the inside of the cowboy hat as well.
Because there's no hair on that head
then. No, he's a baldy, baldy man now.
Yeah. So it's been incremental. I think before WrestleMania, he got a haircut and that was shocking because he's always had long hair.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not
even
on the top.
When it was very much evident that he shouldn't. Speaking of which, old Undertaker's hairline's going all the way back a little bit, isn't it?
We must preface this with, we are nobody to talk.
I was going to say, absolutely, kids in glass houses.
And what is the difference between us talking about this to just body-shaming female wrestlers? I don't know. I don't even want to broach that.
I'm moving away from that subject.
Yeah.
You made me edit out something on the podcast.
Well, that was because it just came off weird and wrong. Shawn Michaels, he had the haircut a little bit over WrestleMania, and now it is shaved off.
Yeah, it's all gone. Mm. And I think it looks like quite cool, really.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest.
When Taker first shaved his head, that looks awesome.
Do you remember when he came down and it was at WrestleMania and he took the head down and he had that mohawk? I remember it was Brian Alvarez at Figure Four was like, I never thought Undertaker could look more intimidating than he already does.
Yeah.
And like that just made him look even more intimidating.
And I think it's weird when I see Triple H with hair now.
Yeah.
I'm so used to it being flipped around and all the hairs on the bottom half of his face.
But I thought this was a really like a great killer go home segment, and it didn't just make me excited for Super Showdown. It made me excited for the DX Brothers of Destruction match that's rumored for Crown Jewel, and it really does look like that's where we're heading.
It looks like it's going to be quite a nice 6 week feud, like almost a limited series, where it doesn't spin off in any other direction for new guys. But it's going to be this really cool throwback. One. It's like when they brought back... Arrested Development got more series, didn't it? But
yes. Yeah.
You just bring back something for a one-off. And it's,
yeah.
So it's going to be this Triple H Undertaker match, then the DX Brothers of Destruction at Crown Jewel, and then WrestleVotes are claiming it's going to be Michaels versus Taker at Survivor Series.
Yeah, or at the Rumble. Mm. I'll be out of that bit. That's the bit I'm less excited about. Like another Michaels Taker match. I don't know. Am I less excited? I don't know. I think I'm pretty excited for it. But it's like,
yeah.
I think I'm more into the idea of this tag team match because that's the build we've been getting for the last like 6-7 weeks.
I think the way to summarize my feelings towards Michaels Taker is, of course, I want to see it. Of course, I want to.
It's one of your favorite matches of all time.
Of course, everyone wants to see it, but. Like, do you need to see it?
Yes.
And that's the other thing. Like, of course I want this very unhealthy stuffed crust margarita pizza, but I don't feel good afterwards.
Mm. And your lady partner really does not feel good about you having it either.
What?
Well, she told you off last time when you had the pizza because you weren't meant to.
I did it again last time. Got a Domino's in. It was glorious. Yeah. But yes, and at the end of this segment, Kane and Undertaker, they did the look back over the shoulders and raised the arms at the end. I loved this.
Yeah.
And I was in such a good mood throughout this Raw.
Really was a lot to like about it.
And this was just the cherry on top, a real nice nostalgia moment. And WWE don't always do nostalgia right, but they very much hit a home run here. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog. Breaking. Dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You want to hear Michael Cole's other gimmick?
Oh, please do.
This might have been going already, but I've only picked up on it the last couple of weeks. He's managed to penetrate through my Michael Cole ear blocker that I wear.
Mm-hmm.
What an ovation.
Yes. Yeah. That's always
but
a
but only for S.H.I.E.L.D. members.
Yeah.
The S.H.I.E.L.D. came out last week.
What an ovation.
And people were, you know, they were clapping.
Mm-hmm.
But no one was really standing on their feet. And it wasn't like a huge wow. What an ovation.
Well, yeah.
Dean Ambrose comes out at the top of this episode. People are happy to see Dean. They're clapping. Not what an ovation, though.
It's not like the glass shattering at Backlash 2000 or like Mick Foley winning the title in on January 1999. But it was a nice reaction. I tell you what, though.
It was just a normal, nice reaction.
I tell you what, though. Seth got a massive pop when he ran out. He was the most over the lad here. It was great.
So this was the first segment started with a bang as the Raw closed. It was both really strong segments to bookend the show. And it was Dean Ambrose having an in-ring interview with Charlie Caruso because, heaven forbid, it's Renee.
Well, Renee's busy now. She's on commentary.
Coach used to come down and do in-ring interviews all the time.
Yeah, but Renee's not part of ESPN,
How
is she?
How many interviewers / broadcast commentators do you need?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. If I'm Mike Rome, I've been waiting in the wings for Renee to get that promotion because now he's going to be able to get more TV time out of it. He's not going to be .com exclusive anymore.
I feel like Rome is drafted to SmackDown or just drafted to wherever Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson are.
Yeah.
Because he was with Randy last week.
Or maybe, yeah, because is it Kayla and Rome on SmackDown?
Yeah, and it's Charlie and Renee.
But Renee's not doing that because she's on commentary now.
It's weird. Because Dasha's pregnant?
Oh, is she really?
I think so.
Oh, well, lovely. Congratulations. Lovely stuff. And Kathy Kelly's
That's the nicest thing you've ever said about Dasha.
And then you've got Kathy Kelly on NXT.
Yes.
Being great.
So, Charlie Caruso is interviewing Dean, and she actually gets a few questions in. Mm-hmm. It's more than just ask one question, hold the mic.
Yeah, but she was waiting to be reneged away.
Yeah, but they were good questions that made sense. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, Dean, it was a bit weird last week. It was tense. There seemed to be some brewing frustrations with you and Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. What's going on there? And then it was her who said, well, let's have a look at the recap of last week. Imagine if Dean did that.
Yeah.
That would have been awful, but they didn't. This was all good.
Yeah, although Dean started getting the what treatment from this crowd, which I thought was unfair. But I thought that they both did really good here, because Dean was talking about, like, yeah, what the Dogs of War said last week is true. Seth and Roman are champions. I'm not, but I was when I wasn't with them. And, you know, he was talking about, like, waiting for the perfect time to slip the knife in and things like that. And now I like this when Charlie was like, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic.
Yes, yeah. Are you, like, what are you saying here? And that really encapsulates Ambrose's character.
And there's a bit where Roman did that later on as well.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, you know, last week was really fun when we were kind of playing it, but, like, now it doesn't seem like you're kidding anymore.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
Have you worked yourself into a shield? Shield, brother?
Much love.
But, yeah, like, Dean really is kind of... Anything he said could be taken either way.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, he just says, look, judge me by my actions. And you're like, okay, you're with the Shield then. But it doesn't make me any more... Like, he has answered the question in a very enigmatic way. It's just, like, he has got his character down very, very well. And his performance is insanely good. I'm so happy that he's finally... This is probably the best Dean Ambrose there's ever been in WWE.
Interesting.
Like, there's none of the goofy wackiness that I guess early Shield Ambrose.
I was going to say, yeah, early Shield Ambrose
is the one who's neck and neck with him, and that feud with Mick Foley that never went anywhere. Dean Ambrose,
yeah,
it's amazing.
What about Dean versus Brock Dean, where he had the chainsaw and things like that?
Don't be facetious, Luke. I was making good examples.
You did make good examples. I liked as well when he said that. Sorry to interrupt. When he said, Shield is not a business. Mm. It's not, because he said in the notes, like, maybe I've already handed my notice into the Shield and I'm already done with it. But then reminds, like, it's not a business. It's not a brand. It's a brotherhood. And we will always ride together.
But then you're like, what are you saying?
But
I don't know.
But that backfires on him.
Yeah.
Like, that idea of the brotherhood. Because then Baron Corbin comes out and says, like, I'm going to give you three options. You can either face Braun Strowman, or you can face Roman for the Universal Championship, or Seth for the Intercontinental Championship. And Dean was like, well, I'm going with option four. How about I face you?
He never answered.
And Baron's like, well, no, then you get a match against Braun Strowman. And that, because that plays off then the line of the brotherhood. He's not going to fight his brothers to take one of their titles off of them. So he's going to face Braun instead. He loses that match by DQ. He gets his ass handed to him. And then later on in the night, when both of them approach, he was like, I could have been Intercontinental Champion tonight. Or I could have been Universal Champion tonight. But he chose brotherhood over that. And that was, in some ways, an error.
Well, I don't even think it's... That's why this is such a good storyline.
Yeah.
And Dean's character arc is, I don't even think it's that simple. He never even chose. He never chose
not
to face either guy for the championship.
That's very true.
He just said, I'm going to kick your ass, Baron.
Yeah.
And Baron was like, well, okay, you got Braun Strowman then. But yeah, it's like that question there is hanging, that does Dean want to face either man for the Intercontinental or Universal Championships?
Interesting.
And that was brought up later on as well. I'm in love with this. And for all like the criticisms that Dean's stale, and you know, this was before he came back. You know, he was kind of goofy Dean, and it did seem like he was sleepwalking through matches sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But he did have one of my favourite storylines last year, which was heading into SummerSlam with Seth.
Yeah.
And now he's at it again. And this is, you've got this going on along with the Triple H Undertaker stuff. Big fan of the Raw main event at the moment.
Absolutely.
And the match itself, I thought was, I actually really enjoyed it. Braun was working Dean over, but then Dean did get quite a good showing in.
Yeah, and he made a really good comeback, even hit the dirty deeds for a near fall. Crowd really bought into that near fall as well. I thought it was actually a really, really nice match. And also when Dean got hit with Braun's big moves after his power slam, it's because he'd run into them. It wasn't that Braun just overpowered him. He ran into a power slam. I thought it was really nice. And then as Braun lifted him up for another power slam, Roman's music hits and he comes down and he causes the DQ. So Dean, and they made a point of announcing that Braun won the match and that Dean lost, because that then did play into their things later on, their little backstage segments.
And you're like, this was, Braun wrestled this match 100% fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And both Roman and Seth run down to take out Braun. Like, he was just winning a match. There was no real idea here of Braun going too far.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was there any need for Reigns and Rollins to come down and effectively cheat? Like, cheat quite one-sidedly from on Dean's behalf. I think there's a fascinating story.
Yeah, it really is.
And afterwards, you get this backstage segment where Dean is angry in the trainer's room. He awesomely throws his ice pack at the wall and it shatters everywhere. And Seth's like, whoa, man, you know, we lost this battle, but we're in it for the war. We don't want you to get injured for Super Showdown this Saturday. And you're like, well, you know, I find that's a good reason.
Good argument.
But at the same time, that wasn't, like, you didn't need to save him at that point, really. It wasn't that super beatdown moment yet. And Dean just, like, has the line of the night when he says that he could have been Intercontinental Champion right now.
Yeah.
He goes,
you know, it's funny. Mm. I could be Intercontinental Champion right now. And then, yeah, absolutely brilliant. And he has the same line later on with Roman.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting. But the question does come, we appear to be telegraphing a Dean heel turn, which has been, you know, the rumour since he came back. They were going to turn Dean heel, which they were going to do last year, to lead to a Dean versus Seth program at WrestleMania. And when Dean came back, everyone was just expecting him to just, like, oh, we'll just pick up the pieces again and we'll do the Dean heel turn so we could do the Dean Seth match at Mania next year. But are we almost telegraphing a Dean heel turn to the point where it's going to be someone else?
Possibly. It's quite uncharacteristic for WWE to make a heel turn so obvious.
Yeah.
Which is what, you would presume it swerves. And if they do swerve and Dean doesn't turn heel, you've still got all that stuff there where he talks about the Brotherhood, and his actions have backed up that sentiment. So if Roman turns, that's the best option. That's the best storyline for this.
And it ties in so beautifully with Dean's character as well. Because one of the things I really liked about the original split of the Shield was that it wasn't just that Seth Rollins broke up the Shield. He broke up a Brotherhood. Like, they were best friends. They were brothers. They would travel together. They did everything together. And Seth threw that away to go join someone else. So if someone else stabs Dean in the back again when he's sticking through thick and thin with this group, not having a title, not doing this, not doing that, it's just going to be so much more fuel for his fire.
Mm. You're making me think of the moment when Seth hit Roman with the... And
It's Dean's face.
Yeah.
It's not Roman's terrible selling of it. It's Dean's it's Dean's face.
You know what's peculiar about this?
What's that, mate?
And Dean's character right now, you know, he's this badass who's got a big chip on his shoulder, but he's sticking to it and he's a babyface. And the commentators are kind of presenting him as a babyface at the moment. They're being on his side, understanding his plight. The crowd are very much behind him. Similar to Becky Lynch.
It is indeed.
But Becky Lynch, the commentators aren't on.
No, because she's a heel.
Yeah, and yeah.
Because Dean's a babyface.
It's a shame. Like, if they just treated Becky the same way coming out that Charlotte storyline.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a much more effective.
And we've got a hype package for Becky versus Charlotte later on, which, again, very much positioned.
Oh
hello.
The light's gone.
Which very much positioned Becky.
Studio is falling apart.
We're out of here soon.
Yeah, hopefully this week, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Which positioned Becky as the heel.
Baron then came down and said, we're getting Seth and Drew versus Roman and Dolph. Seth versus Drew later on and Roman versus Dolph right now. And then Ziggler, McIntyre and Strowman did their silly rah thing at the top.
Wish they'd stop doing that.
Yeah. And then we get Roman Reigns versus Dolph Ziggler, and that Roman suddenly made it a title match.
Yeah, I like this. I thought this was a really nice touch. Yeah. Roman was just like, I'm a fighting champion, big dog. Handed the title over and it's like, put it up. And they're like, oh, wow, this is going to be a title match. This is going to be really good. Because Roman, that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to win the belt off of Brock so that he could defend the title on house shows and live events and whatnot. And then Baron comes out, old stinky Baron Corbin, and was like, no, Roman, you don't get to decide when. This isn't your show. This is my show. Title isn't on the line because you're going to defend that at Crown Jewel. That then gives Roman the out of why aren't you defending the title on Raw every week like you said you would do.
And the Crown Jewel reasoning makes sense why Baron didn't make it a title match so Dolph could win it off of Roman.
Yeah.
Because Ziggler's kind of in cahoots with the heels. This is a logically tight show.
Yeah.
And like later
on... A good steak wrap was had this week.
Good cow. So when Reigns and Ambrose run down to save Rollins later on, I was like, why didn't they run out together? And I thought, because Ambrose is being, so even bits like that made sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, really appreciated.
But I thought this was a really good...
The thought gone into this show. Maybe it was written yesterday as opposed to... Several hours before they go on air.
But I thought this was a good, another good match.
It was okay.
Yeah, I thought this was good. I enjoyed it. Dolph, he had some good stuff in there with like a sleeper, and he hit the Famouser to get a couple of near falls, and he hit the Zigzag for a great near fall that the crowd really bought into, like, which would have been a really amazing near fall had the title been on the line. Mm. And then Roman hit a spear out of nowhere for the win. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked how Seattle were booing Roman. They were very against Roman throughout this. But as soon as he does the they all did it with him.
It's the weirdest thing with Roman, isn't it? I'm like, so
you should boo him harder.
Like
people don't go, you can't see me, along with John Cena.
Yeah, they do. They would all boo him.
And
even when he was like, everyone was all boo Cena, everyone still did, you can't see me.
I didn't.
You can always hear it. You go back and watch those pay-per-views, everyone does that. It's the weirdest thing. How To Wrestling, on their Patreon podcast that they do, where they like revisit their old episodes, they recently did one on The Shield. And they were making the point there that, like, just the default position for Roman is boo him. Like, as soon as that music hits, you boo him. Mm. And as soon as, like, he does stuff in the match, you boo him. But as soon as he does ooh-rah, everyone's on his side.
Ooh-rah.
Like, make up your mind. Like, are we against him? Are we not? And it is...
Pavlovian.
It's a Pavlovian thing. We just boo... Like, we don't hate Roman. I don't think the people who boo Roman hate him. Or are bored of him, or are sick of him being... I think some people are. Maybe the majority are. But I think a lot of people are just like, I'm booing him because... That's what I'm supposed to do. It happened to me when we were at the WWE live event, a Raw taping, not the one gone, but the one last year.
It's fun to boo him.
As soon as the music hits, my instant reaction was to go, boo.
Yeah.
And I don't hate Roman.
But you're not a fan of his push.
I am not a fan of him in that position, but I don't hate Roman.
Yeah, but I don't... What, you mean like genuine hate towards a person?
Yeah, like...
I don't genuinely hate any of the wrestlers.
I think some people...
But I hate
the
character.
Some people do.
I'm talking about you.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can... That's the point. You boo the people you don't like.
I am not into the Roman character.
But yeah,
I like Roman as a wrestler. Like,
so you boo him.
I'm not into a character enough to boo him just because he's there.
That's how wrestling works.
I'm not into Bobby Roode's character at the moment, but I'm not gonna boo him.
No, but that's different. Like,
why is that different?
Because
it's the same
Bobby
thing.
Roode isn't being pushed at all.
So it's not that's not the argument you're making.
I am. Look, so Roman Reigns, like, you don't like him as a character.
I'm not into Roman's character, no.
That's why we boo him.
No, I think the reason why people boo him is because he's pushed and Daniel Bryan isn't.
Yeah. Because, yeah, that's
That's not
point.
His character, though. That's the machine.
For a while.
It was for a while, yeah. Maybe it's just a holdover from that.
But you do boo people because you don't like their characters. That's the...
I boo people because they're heels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're saying Roman isn't technically a heel.
He's not technically a heel, is he? People boo Roman because people just boo the music.
I can't believe we're talking about Roman Reigns
in 2018. it's about Roman Reigns' push in 2018.
White noise. I kind of wanted all the Shield stuff to happen in one big chunk. We had the Dean Ambrose stuff at the start, and then the Strowman match, then Reigns and Ziggler. I kind of wanted Rollins and McIntyre to happen right after.
Problem if you did that, though. Then you got a big stretch of...
You've got Ronda, you've got Shawn Michaels. I think there's enough throughout the show.
But what I'm saying is, Ronda's next, and then Michaels is right at the end.
Well, you move Ronda back a bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you do all the great stuff right at the start, then there's a big old chunk of stuff where you've got to be like, well, we've got to get through this now until we can get... And the third hour was a little bit like that. Mm. It felt like, yeah, we need to really get to this Shawn Michaels main event segment, but we do have an hour to fill, so are you busy, Bailey? Because we do need 5 minutes filled out there.
I thought it would be quite nice to have it all contained as one big story.
It would have been if you had some stuff that you could do in the second and third hour.
Well, I thought there was enough on the show to keep people around. Put Rousey as the main event of the second.
I would have done that. That's how I would have done it, yeah.
So, speaking of, Ronda Rousey then took on Ruby Riott, where she's backstage doing some shadow boxing warming up, and there's Natalia and the Bellas.
Mm-hmm.
But Natalia doesn't accompany them out.
No, well, because she's not in the match at Super Showdown.
It was like, ah, Natalia, we used to be besties, but these more popular girls are here now. So they're my friends. If this was Mean Girls, Rousey is not, she's the nasty B word.
So I thought it was funny as well because the Bellas and Natalia are yucking it up backstage, but Ronda's serious. She's like serious face Ronda doing the shadow box and stuff. Then she comes out for the match and she's all smiles with the Bellas. The Bellas got their own entrance, and then she just comes. Ronda comes out all smiles. I love Ronda. In fact, I think Ronda's awesome. But I wish she'd stop doing the smiling.
Yeah.
It's this awful, awful thing, and it's Vince McMahon just not realizing what he's doing. Because Ronda said in an interview the reason why she smiles is because Vince told her when you smile, the whole world smiles with you. Because she's got such a nice smile. So it's like a directive for her to smile when she comes out because it makes the crowd smile.
Mm.
But it also makes her not look like a badass.
Yeah. It would be a lot more effective if she was just walking down very mean looking all the time.
When she's backstage with a mean face doing a shadow boxing, awesome. Can't wait for you to see you kick someone's ass. Then she comes down the ring all smiles and waving.
So the problem there, I suppose, is when she does transition into mean face... It's not as effective because you don't have the smiley stuff beforehand. But even then, that's where you sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
You sell I'm being beaten up.
Yeah.
You're not smiling. Hey, I love wrestling. I'm just happy to be here.
I'm just happy to be here.
So honoured.
Such an honour to be here.
And then mean face. Yeah. I'm actually going to bury you all. So I thought this was... It was a decent match.
Ruby got a lot of it. Yeah, she got a lot of it. She really led this match.
Because she got the upper hand by jamming Ronda's shoulder into the ring post outside.
Absolutely, yeah. And Liv Morgan got kicked in the face so hard last week, her hair changed colour.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels' hair comes off and hers goes pink.
So Liv Morgan was out there. No mention of the concussion as far as I could hear. And they very much, they did mention that Brie kicked her last week, but didn't mention it was an injury or anything like that. They very much skirted around that issue, but did mention that she's going to wrestle this Sunday, or this Saturday, I should say.
Yeah.
So,
well, concussions are, you don't know if it's a long-term thing or a short-term.
Or it'll be something they announce midweek. Maybe they haven't done the full tests yet.
Mm.
And they'll just announce in the week they changed it.
It's a shame because that something real happened there. So, and this is a feud that really, or a match that really needs something for the viewers to sink their teeth into beyond the fact that it's Ronda Rousey and the Bellas. And that's, you've got something here. I don't know how you would spin it into some actual substance, but it's like the promo, the Elias and KO promo that we'll come on to, that got this huge reaction from the crowd. But because of the scripted nature of WWE, they don't really run with that, and they're not allowed to.
Yeah.
But yes, Ronda tapped Ruby out for the win.
Yes.
And celebrated with
her
best
friends. Riot Squad have lost virtually every single encounter they've had in the build-up to this feud.
Yeah.
They won once last week, and no one remembers because of the Liv Morgan injury.
Well, technically, that was a knockout. That was a KO victory for Brie, so they even lost that one. Then we got Connor Versus Bobby Roode.
When Bobby Roode came out, I was like, I wrote down versus Connor, and I was like, Ollie's going to love this. He's going to be so thrilled that when Michael Cole was like, he's taken on Connor of the Ascension after the break.
You know what? I got my anger out last week, and I'm watching this. I like the story of Chad Gable doing well against Connor, but losing, and then Bobby Roode going in there and showing him how to do it. And maybe Connor beats him. And they're like, oh, wow, even though I'm your mentor, the only way we can beat them is to come together as a tag team and beat the Ascension. And
which we've already done.
That's the problem. Like, this story works if they have twice.
Twice, to beat them twice.
Twice. I had to go back and check. And I was like, no, it can't have been twice. Maybe it was 1 week they beat the Ascension. Then there was a couple of weeks and then we got into this.
Yeah.
Nope. It was twice after SummerSlam in consecutive weeks. And then we went on to this storyline of Connor beating, after Chad beat Victor as well. So it's that SmackDown problem of, this is actually a good story, but you've told the second half first,
yeah,
which strips away any of the kind of engagement you have for the latter part.
You've done the conclusion to build up the start.
Yeah, it's not Pulp Fiction. And the crowd was so quiet.
Oh, so quiet. Yeah.
It's a shame because, like I said, this is a good story. And Chad is great, and the partnering with Roode is really inspired. I read on Reddit, someone just said, can't remember who. There are loads of comments. And they just said, I can't tell if they're pushing the Ascension or burying Roode and Gable.
Like, that's, oh, it's hard to tell, yeah.
That is difficult. Then we got Alexa Bliss bringing back her Moment of Bliss.
Yes, they've suddenly realised that there's this Evolution pay-per-view that they've not done any promotion for a little while. Because, you know, there's quite a lot of plates spinning at the moment. Someone brought this up on our Patreon, I think, or might have been on Twitter. That, like, yeah, between Mixed Match Challenge, the Mae Young Classic, Crown Jewel, Super Showdown, SmackDown 1000, and Evolution, it's like, all of a sudden WWE just got all of these plates spinning at the same time, and they're not sure which ones they actually want to keep rotating. And they've just done this all into this, like, 6-7 week period, whereas, like, throughout the rest of the year, we haven't really had much else.
Mm.
Like, you've got to spread this out, really.
Yeah, it's curious, because usually this time, like, you've got the post-WrestleMania dip,
yep,
where WWE lose interest, and then you've got the post-SummerSlam dip, when the NFL starts back up, and WWE are like, ah, we're not going to do well in the ratings, so why bother? And my argument's always been, well, now your most dedicated audience are there, so do all you can to maintain them,
yeah,
and reward them for sticking with you. And they're actually kind of doing this.
Yep.
So I get what you mean. It would have been nice to have this spread out more, yeah, throughout the year, but it feels like there's a lot of big stuff happening at the moment.
And it really does, yeah.
Usually get that in September and October. It's November with Survivor Series that happens.
So we've got this Evolution pay-per-view, and the only match they've really pushed, at least on the main roster, because obviously NXT's doing its own thing, is this Bliss versus Trish Stratus match. And that's what this Moment of Bliss was about, was Bliss saying that she met Trish Stratus when she was 7 years old at an event, and Trish wouldn't sign her autograph book, and she burped in her face. You should never meet your heroes. And then, as many people have pointed out, Alexa Bliss at 7 years old, that would have been in 1998. And Trish didn't get her start until 2000.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Well, this was a good segment. This was really funny.
Yeah.
Alexa delivered it really well, just like she did for her anti-bullying PSAs against Nia Jax. It was the same format.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this was really funny. You can't buy Jimmy Choo's with autographs, Trish allegedly told,
yeah,
a seven-year-old Alexa back in time. He was time traveling. Yeah, so it's very good.
Yeah.
But there was that stupid mistake, but you wouldn't notice it unless you went on the Twitter.
Yes, absolutely.
But I did think that was like 7 years old.
I'll be honest, well, I thought Alexa Bliss was younger than she is, apparently, because if she was born in 1991, I mean, she's 6 years younger than I. She's, what, 3 years younger than you?
Yeah, so she's, can't do maths now.
Yeah, like, I thought she was much younger than that. I don't know why.
27.
Yeah, I thought she was in, like, in her, like, early, maybe mid-20s.
20,
that's, I mean,
26,
that's,
that, 27.
Yeah, that's virtually on, that's on my era. But mm. I, so when she was saying, like, I was 7 years old when I met Trish, in my head I was like, that adds up, because I thought she was younger.
So we've got another cloud now, but I'm in that kind of mood. This cloud has a silver lining.
Well, okay, I think I know what the silver lining is, because it can't be the match itself.
No, so the B team came out. B team, rah, rah, rah. And now I get...
Ollie, turn off.
Yeah, Pavlovian responses. That is just me to see red. Oh, God, I forgot these guys were a thing.
And it came off the back of the Bobby Connor match as well. I was like, ooh, this is a rough 20 minutes for Ollie Davis.
But the Revival are out there. Got a jobber entrance. They're already in the ring. And this is off the back of that really good McIntyre-Ziggler title match last Monday.
I know.
A match that Vince McMahon himself was rumoured to be very impressed by. And Dave Meltzer said on Wrestling Observer Radio, you know, like, this might actually be the sign of a push for them. No.
Nope, not at all.
Because they had a match. They lost to the B team.
They lost to the B team. Yeah. Again.
Using the B team's old fluky victory shtick, which was tired like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
So I have no idea why they're still doing it.
This was no good. This was an awful, awful segment.
And the way to take their characters, really, is to now send them on a losing streak. That would be quite a funny... You were on this winning a fluke winning streak, and now you're
about the B team, not the Revival.
Yeah, the B team, sorry,
I thought you meant the Revival for a second. I was like, that is not the way to take this story.
No, that's how you build them. Let's get that Daniel Bryan thing with the crowd gets on their side.
And they were always meant to win the championships. It was always the plan.
Really, unfortunately, the Revival lost. And
couldn't believe my eyes.
Yeah, it's not like this even mattered, because the whole point of this segment was the B team walking up the ramp celebrating for AOP to beat them up, and then they just beat them up in the ring as well. The photo gallery on WWE.com for this segment, because we need to go to those to get the pictures for the videos, isn't called the Revival versus B Team.
It's called AOP.
It's called AOP beat down the B Team. Oh, so that just tells you what WWE's mentality going into it was.
And that's fine. Like, I don't have an issue with that, because they are trying to push the AOP.
That's the silver lining.
That's the silver lining. And there was actually really an interesting segment backstage. Drake Maverick not in cosplay this week. Oh, he was in a suit.
So much better.
Yeah, yeah. And then a segment backstage with AOP and Corbin where he was like congratulating them on a good job. And he's like, you guys know what you need to do. And it kind of sort of sowed these seeds of just like, so now Corbin's working with them and Drake as well. And what's he got planned? Is it something that's going to pay off at Super Showdown? Is it something that's going to pay off on Raw next week or in the coming weeks? That's a really nice, interesting wrinkle. And that's all great. Just don't put the Revival in the other... Like, Heath Slater and Rhino, it's not like they're busy. You could have put anyone else in that position. And, like, the Revival coming off that great match they had for the tag titles last week, where it looked like they might win and it might be the start of a push for them. And now this is just, like, taking them... It's not even back to square one. This is like hitting nothing but snakes all the way down, past like off the board.
Yeah.
It was really, really bad for the Revival.
Yeah, very, very bad. You could have just had another team in there and AOP beat them all up.
Yeah, exactly. That way. Yeah.
I was thinking, just have the Revival win. Just have the Revival beat the B team. So, you know, they get to show that the Revival get this bit of winning streak after last week's momentum. And then AOP come down and beat all of them up. And then you might even get a little spot where the Revival make a comeback, recapture some of that NXT magic, but AOP beat them down. Then you've got a feud.
Yeah.
Then you've got an AOP-Revival feud. Maybe even the Revival help out the B team as AOP are beating them up. The Revival here, after they lost, as AOP were beating up the B team in the ring, they were just on the outside, crawling up the ramp to go to the back. So, terrible... Terrible stuff for the Revival. Really disheartening, especially after last week, but very promising for AOP.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then we got that backstage segment with Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns, and that's where Roman was asking if Dean's okay, and Dean said, you know, I had Braun, man. I had him. I could have won that match. If I wasn't such a nice guy, I might be Universal Champion right now. That's a good line!
It's a great line.
Oh. Then we got some Susan G. Coleman stuff, which is the breast
it's
cancer.
Coleman, not Coleman.
Coleman? It's Coleman.
Coleman.
I'd switch off during the So a lot of people got in touch with me. It's like, oh, I bet you can't. I can't wait to hear what you're going to say about this charity segment. This one didn't break kayfabe. I'm fine for charity. But this one didn't break kayfabe.
Yeah.
If Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker came down and paused for a moment to support this charity, then I'd have a problem with it. But this was what it was. I mean, I don't really care about this being on TV, on Raw, but yeah.
I just thought you would hate it because it took up part of the show, and that's also part of your issue.
It is what it is. It's Raw's 3 hours now.
It's a variety show.
Yeah.
You've got to have variety.
I wouldn't. I would put this stuff, it's quite nice when done sparingly because it feels really genuine and special then, but this is, it's almost like a weekly segment of, don't worry, we're a publicly traded company. I could do without that PR nonsense.
Yeah.
I'm smarter than that, and I think everyone else should be. Dogs of War were backstage, and they're having issues too.
This was a great segment. Yeah. This ruled.
So Dolph is amping up Drew, come on, Drew, go out there, beat Seth. And Braun says, yeah, we need to win, and we don't need any more weak links. And he looks at Dolph.
Yeah.
And Dolph was the one who lost his match.
And Dolph was just oh, God, I don't know what he's talking about. Drew looks at Dolph, and Drew walks off as if in agreement with Braun Strowman that Ziggler is the weak link of the team. Really interesting stuff in there, which ties into the stuff that was last week where they were saying to Drew, hey, do you realize that Dolph's just using you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So this is really good. Layered.
Yeah, yeah, really layered stuff. I really like this. And then I really like the match that they had.
Before we get on to that, though, I feel I'm replaying what I said about the charity segment in my head. I think I might have misspoke and and said I didn't care about it. What I mean by that is I do not care for it being on a professional wrestling show.
Yeah.
Not that I don't care about the cause.
You don't care about breast cancer survivors. Yeah, that's what you hate. You can't stand that people survived it.
That is not what I said. And if it came across that way, that surely wasn't my intention.
No.
I hope everyone watching 45 minutes into this show should give me the benefit of the doubt.
But you can find him on Twitter at Ollie Davis if you want to let him know how it came across.
Anyway, and they didn't sell for anyone. Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins was next. I thought it was quite short as a match. It was Drew working over Seth, but then Seth had this good comeback. Buckle bomb, super kick in the corner.
Yep.
And Dolph runs down, sort of just does this really quick, almost ghost-like run through the ring,
yeah,
and slides out the other side. That's enough to distract Seth. Drew hits the claymore for the win.
Big win for Drew.
Yeah. And then the Dogs of War come down for a beatdown. Strowman awesomely is just strolling.
Yeah.
Down.
He was in no rush. No rush for this beatdown.
Yeah.
And then Roman runs down to make the save, and Dean's music comes down, and he's starting to hit people with the axe handles, take off the dangerous bit of it, of course, and then start hitting people with it.
You don't want to kill them.
Well, unless Jimmy Havoc tweeted about that and said, lads, you're missing a bit of that axe.
Yeah, well, Jimmy would use that. Jimmy would. And stomp on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was no beatdown, and the Dogs of War stood tall at the end.
Mm.
Which, going by the theoretical go-home show angle, would mean that the Shield are winning at Super Showdown. But as we know, that's not always the case.
It's actually 50-50 either way. So this segment, I like the fist bump at the end, especially the way Drew kind of just did this real vindictive arm swing down.
Mm-hmm.
But I was struck by something else. I'm just showing Luke a picture here of Braun Strowman's nipple just peeking out.
He cannot keep his pecs in his vest. Every match they fall out. It's like you at MediaCon.
Well, yeah. Wonder Braun, Wonder Raleigh, nipples. Yeah, there's a connection there.
You were doing it as a tribute to Braun Strowman. Yeah.
I found that very funny.
Mm.
I was in a good mood today. And to carry on my good mood,
yeah,
just put aside. I've put it in a box. I put it in a box in the bottom of my heart of Kevin Owens. It's not getting pushed the way I want.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were. They intentionally made me think that's what they were gonna do. And then they scappered it the next week.
Yeah.
Scappered isn't a word.
Scappered.
So I was like, okay, I'm just going to pop it in there. And I'm just going to take this for what it is. A boring filler feud for Raw's third hour. And we can get over Leo Rush and Bobby Lashley.
Because
that is actually quite fun.
So we can build up that for John Cena to have a match at Super Showdown.
Whatever.
Whatever.
So I did not expect. First of all, Elias and Kevin Owens to they sort of had it with the Kevin Owens show last week, but I thought their chemistry here during Elias's sing-song stuff was really good.
I thought the stuff they did backstage was really funny.
Yeah.
Because Elias there talking about he's got a rider because he's such a big musical star, and he made me laugh when he said, yep, I asked for a triangle of water.
Just a bowl of spinach.
It's just a bowl of spinach.
And Owens picks up something good. That is good spinach.
It was the triangle of water that really made me laugh, because that is someone in set, like, I've just set that up as a triangle, and then Elias looked at it and goes, like, it's weird that it's a triangle. Yeah, I'm going to make mention of that on the show.
Yeah, and they gave him almonds and he wanted cashews. So he threw the...
What a heel. He wants the best kind of nut, though. Mm. Cashews are delicious.
And although you only like the roasted variety, I gave you an unroasted cashew.
Which was just weird.
Looked like a child eating a sour piece of food they've never had before.
I did not enjoy that unsalted, unroasted cashew.
So in the ring, Elias does his usual, who wants to walk with Elias?
Crowd were very behind him at that point.
And Owens just goes...
Me? This guy right here.
Owens had this really funny thing of just like, you know, me and Elias, we're just great guys. And I hope they run with the great guys thing. They brought it up again.
He said that Owen said that Cena and Lashley teaming together just doesn't make sense. But, you know, we as a team here, we do make sense. And then Elias makes a your local sports team joke, which got, I would say, I mean, this was nuclear heat. This was Roman on the Raw after WrestleMania when he beat The Undertaker levels of nuclear heat.
Yeah, it's in the discussion. Yeah, it's crazy. So I looked into this. Do you know why it was a thing?
Yeah, so I put up on Twitter this morning, it was like, gee, Seattle really likes its basketball, eh? And a lot of people who were actually at the arena said to me, it was like, yeah, so it was a basketball team left. The Supersonics?
Yeah, the Seattle Supersonics were bought by another, because American sports is very strange. Well, yeah, you can just buy teams.
This doesn't happen in the UK. Well, very rarely does it happen. It's happened a couple of times, like Milton Keynes Dons and things like that. But like football teams or sports teams just stay where they are. They'll get a different manager and they'll get different owners, but they just sort of stay where they are. Whereas like in America, they're more brands that you just like, oh, you know, well, we're the Oakland Raiders, but we were bought by the LA now. So we're now the LA Raiders. And I think they went back to Oakland. And things like that, and so this doesn't really translate very well to a UK audience, I would argue. A lot of the times when they do your local sports team stuff, I've no idea what people are on about. When a heel says something about your local sports team, I'm going to assume it's not something nice about your local sports team. I was struck by, and perhaps again this is because it doesn't translate very well. Do you know when the Supersonics left them?
2008.
10 years ago!
I thought it was... Shawn Michaels was still wrestling back then.
I was going to say...
Wait a second.
I thought it was like last week it happened.
Yeah,
or this was like recent news. Yeah. But when someone tweeted me this morning, it was like, yeah, it was a decade ago. I was like, Mom, maybe you should just get over it then. But apparently it's still rough, because I don't think they have another basketball team. They haven't had one since
it
the Supersonics left.
This
did strike a nerve, and it was awesome. Because then Owens, he was trying to cut his promo. He was trying to cut his scripted promo that he'd been given, and he just could not get this promo out. He was shouting into the microphone. Elias was shouting into his microphone. You could not hear them over the crowd.
I was really impressed with Elias here. I thought he worked around the confines of the scripted promo really well to be like, you got to turn my mic up, turn Kevin's mic up. I can't, you know, talk into the people in the back. I can't hear it, which is only making the crowd boo heavier and more. That was great. And then at one point, they brought up the house lights.
Yes,
so
to
you
show.
Could see the crowd all on their feet with their thumbs down. This wasn't just an audible noise. It was like a physical display of hate.
Really was.
And you could see it now. And Elias goes, put that down. Yeah. Put those lights down. I don't want to see them.
Keep the spotlight on me. I don't want to see these people.
It was really good.
It was fascinating.
Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating.
Do you know how long it went on for?
It felt like a long time.
Have a guess.
I'm going to say 5 minutes.
6 minutes of sustained, really loud booing. Like, there have been louder pops, but that's like a 30-second thing. This was a sustained boo.
Yeah, my man. Oh, Seattle really incredible. Do miss their basketball, man. Apparently, it was fascinating. That's the best word I could use to describe this. I thought it was incredible to watch.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it. And I know Owen's stuck to, because he was probably thinking, God, we cannot overrun. We've got
Michaels and Taker.
We can't encroach on their time. No, totally. I'm just going to try and shout over them. And he did, like, he sort of him shouting to Kent. I'm not going to pay attention to your boos. I'm just going to talk about John Cena. So he got around it that way, which was, you know, smart thinking on your feet. But I would have loved them to just milk it and make this. You could have made this go like a full 10 minutes.
Yeah. And Elias did it. He got to have one moment as well, because the crowd were like so against these two off the back of that one comment. When Leo Rush came out, the crowd just sort of died out. And it wasn't like Leo Rush made the crowd cheer, or Bobby didn't make the crowd cheer. They just stopped booing Elias and Owens. And they got to a point when they started to try and boo them again. And Elias just goes, dude, the team left. What are you booing me for?
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. Nice off-the-cuff stuff by Elias. And that's what I really wanted to see from these two. Especially Owens could have milked this for all it's worth. Yeah. He really could have done. And Elias is so good at doing this. But it was crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
The interesting thing that I pointed out in
my review, crowd just chanting for the basketball team.
Yeah, is that, like, they're talking about Cena. Their whole promo point is to talk about John Cena. They're facing him and Lashley in the tag match at Super Showdown on Saturday. Sure. If this was John Cena's segment, if this was John Cena in the ring, he would have milked this.
Oh, yeah, he really would have
done, that would have gone
on
for ages.
But he can get away with that.
Exactly. And that is a shame.
Yeah.
I get that there's timings, but you should have someone running down from the back going,
yeah,
keep this going.
Keep this going, yeah.
And like they did to an extent, because the production brought the house lights up.
Yeah.
So they were
clearly a Vince call, yeah.
And like someone should be telling Leo Rush, don't read that. Go out there and say, hey, you two shut up. Seattle is one of the best sports teams in this country.
Yeah.
And get
your
them
local
on that
sports
way.
Team's awesome.
Yeah, because what happened, like you said, was Bobby, there was no heat transference.
No.
Here.
Heat and transference,
exactly,
there it is.
You want to bring that negative heat into positive heat for Lashley. But it was also a boring match.
Yeah. Although I laughed out loud, like really laughed out loud, when Corey Graves said that Leo Rush sounds like Meatwad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Oh, I haven't.
Oh, man. I used to love Aqua Teen Hunger Force. And actually, Leo Rush really does sound like Meatwad from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Well, cool.
He does.
I'll check it out. Adult Swim, is it?
It is an Adult Swim. It was so funny.
But yeah,
maybe not the movie, but the show was very funny.
It turned into just a sort of, Owens, Bobby Lashley, third hour of Raw.
Yeah.
Lots of headlocks, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Elias got Leo Rush on the outside. That was enough to distract Bobby Lashley. KO rolled him up for the win. Quite a few roll-ups off of distractions on this show.
Yeah, it was a bit of a... Yeah, they used that finish a lot. Mm. Not really much of a match. And this is kind of where, like... I know what rating you gave for Raw. But with sort of moments like this, and some of the other moments that came earlier in the show, I don't think I could quite agree.
Okay.
However, I still will give it a very high score.
Well, let's get there very quickly, because then the only other thing was Bayley versus Alicia Fox. Alicia Fox had quite a funny 10-second promo before coming out.
Yeah, so they appear to be building dissension between her and Sunil Singh. Hmm. That's the gimmick they're running with. Jinder tripped...
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Jinder tripped Bayley during the match, and then Bayley hit the sling blade on the outside. Bayley won.
Yep.
And that also means that in this mixed match challenge feud, Balor and Bayley just keep on winning.
Yeah.
And Jinder and Fox just keep on losing.
Yeah, so that was the thing that happened.
Yeah.
But so, okay, I gave this, and we were asked this on the Wrestle Ramble when we actually took the question out.
Yeah,
because we couldn't figure out when, if ever, I've ever given a top rating to Raw.
Yeah.
And I went back and I cannot think, like, even the Raws up, maybe I gave a Raw after WrestleMania one. But you, like, the Raws after WrestleMania recently have had those cool surprises, but there's felt no substance here. This, for me, this whole show was the perfect mix of big angles and substance.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the Shield Dean Ambrose stuff that lasted, you know, for about an hour of the show, which is, I mean, an hour of actual time. So that's about half the show overall.
Mm-hmm.
You've got that, which I loved, like really intensely loved. I think Dean Ambrose's performance was spectacular. You've got this, like, in what would have been a throwaway bit for Owens and Elias, that turned into one of the more memorable bits of Raw of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible. It was so fun. I've rewatched it three times since. It's so much fun. And then you've got that killer main event angle with Undertaker, Kane, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H. Historic in that this is he took that bump. And this is kind of like the real first physical part to Shawn Michaels' comeback. I think it's newsworthy. I think it had great stories, great performances. The wrestling was pretty decent. That was the only thing that was lacking, like a one killer match. And there was the space for it. I get that the Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens match wasn't amazing, but you had that stuff at the start. I get that the B Team and Revival happened, but you got the AOP push, which I'm very behind. And Connor versus Bobby Roode, like I said, that's a good story. It's a shame it's been told out of order. And Ronda Rousey is Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
I gave it an all.
Yeah, and I do.
I gave it 5 out of 5.
And I don't think you're... I mean, I would never say anyone's wrong for any of the thoughts that they have on this show. And I certainly don't think... I think you actually made a compelling argument for why it is in awe. I would have probably given it a high. I was going to say smacktastic. Then that's the other one. What's your 4 out of 5?
A high core. Well, yeah, very close.
Well, yeah, and it was the same thing with SmackDown last week. Like, I really enjoyed the show, but I thought, by and large, the wrestling on it was, like, below par. Mm. Like, it was really substandard. And I think that's what I was missing on this show, was, like, that killer match that made me go, like, oh, man, that was so... And that's why I tune into wrestling, is to watch your mix of angles and wrestling matches. And that's what I felt like this show was missing. Because you can look over things like the Bobby Roode and Connor stuff, because it doesn't matter. Like, that doesn't matter. The same way, really, like, the Bellas versus the Riot Squad doesn't matter. Like, it's just there to put the Bellas on TV, and that's fine. You get the mainstream audience, you put them in the first hour, and that try and guides in a mainstream audience to try and watch more of the show. So I get that. And, you know, you wanted to push the AOP, fine by that. I just don't like using the Revival I just don't wish the Revival lost to the B Team. So there's stuff like that I think you can look over in order to give this a perfect rating. I just wish there was a killer match on this show that really could have just, like, put, like, for me anyway, just to push it over the top and give it that, like, because the other thing as well, I would say, and you made this point as well, that when you and I have given, like, really high ratings and stuff, it has always been like Raw after Mania, or the SmackDown after Mania, or the Superstar Shakeup, when you have these sort of surprise things and stuff. But that's you've got an excuse there, because it's meant to be. It's how you follow up the show the couple of weeks after. This didn't have that. This didn't have, like, the Superstar Shakeup to fall back on, or the Raw after SummerSlam to fall back on. This was just a contained episode of the show, and it was a bloody good one.
Yeah, completely agree. I always say you need 3 really good parts, like really, really good parts, to make a 5 out of 5 episode. It's what Stanley Kubrick always said about movies. You need 3 memorable scenes.
Where are those in 2001?
That's all of them. Yeah, I like what you did there, but it's all of them. And yeah, you've got Dean Ambrose, you've got the Brothers of Destruction, and you've got that Kevin Owens and Elias segment. I'm happy. Maybe if I was in a different mood, it would have been a rating lower. But yeah, it's nice to enjoy Raw so much.
It really is. Hello, Wembley. How did you find the show? How did you find Progress Hello Wembley from the SSE?
It was terrific. It was really good in multiple ways. Mm-hmm. Of course, hanging out with you.
Thank you very much.
And Fakador and Andy Datsun, website writer. And my mate Dan, who was also on the exact other opposite side of the arena. So like that.
Yeah, you made that the most awkward way to try and find each other. Like, so I've been at, like, you know, I went to see the Impractical Jokers at the O2. Mm. And my friend was there, my friend from school. He actually did the flowers for our wedding. And she sent me a message going, like, oh, I'm here as well. And I was like, oh, where are you sat? And the first thing she did, she put a torch on her phone and waved it. And I was like, oh, there she is. She's over there. And I waved my torch back at her. And then we saw each other and we waved. You, on the other hand, texted your friend and said, can you wave? And I'll see if I can find you.
Way too many people for that.
Way too many people started waving. And you were like, oh, I think I saw you. And they text back, that wasn't me.
Well, I was... Millie McKenzie is from his hometown. So I just looked around for someone going crazy when her name was announced. And then we just had a, like, here's a photo of my view. here's a photo of my view. It was fun. It was like a Sherlock Holmes detective game.
Like the Holmes and Watson trailer.
Yeah. So there was that. There was, you know, just hanging out with people. Some bloody great wrestling.
Really was. And we have been asked not to give any spoilers away from someone who's a Pledgehammer, because they are going to watch it on demand. Mm. And that's not being released until like the end of the week or like next week. So we can't talk about... Let's try not to talk about like results and
okay,
stuff.
Well, that person, stop listening now. We're going to talk about results. Because like... We talk about all the other results. I don't want to get into the habit of stopping stuff.
That's fair enough.
Just spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning. We're going to talk about the results of progress. Yeah. Can't believe CM Punk showed up.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah.
But the worst surprise is like Jordan and Grace.
Yeah, yeah. That was wicked. I marked out massively when she came
really
down.
Yeah, that was really cool. Volta's entrance.
Oh, man. When he had the... Oh, the
dual violinist treatment.
He is the best wrestler on the planet. He is the best.
He's my favourite.
Yep.
Are you saying favourite and best are the same?
I'm saying both. He is the best. He's my favourite. He's the tippity top. He's numero uno. He is the best.
The Thunder Bastard tag match
so
was
much
really fun. The heat. You think Elias and Kevin Owens got heat?
Oh, you want to see some Zach Gibson heat, mate? Some grizzled young level. Veterans heat.
Yeah. So the great wrestling, great company, and just it's. It's so nice to see that come, like the promotion sell out that. Well, not sell out, but
yeah,
very heavily fill that arena.
They did, yeah. They sold a lot of tickets.
Yeah, so it was a really nice benchmark for British indie wrestling.
Yeah, because I believe ICW are running a big show. I think it's this weekend, or it might be in the next couple of weeks. That's actually a bigger attendance or a larger capacity than Hello Wembley.
And they've done it a few times before, haven't they?
And I know that because they were tweeting about it heavily on the day of Hello Wembley. And because someone did like, it was like, guys, can we not just get along? Like, let's just all like each other and just like support the fact that we're all doing really well.
No. It's a promotional feud.
It's a promotional war. Zach Gibson, by the way, still has like my favorite comment I've ever heard at a wrestling show in terms of heel promos. Was the match he had against Toriano when he was taking the mick out of people around ringside, saying, "You're all here because you like Dave Meltzer's Wrestling Observing. You want to think you're in the know. You're looking at the ring now and going, bloody hell, Grado looks different in person."
Yeah, he's really good.
But I had a cracking time at the event, though. Really, really good fun. Yeah, terrific wrestling throughout. Got to meet a lot of members of the SWAP Nation as well, so that was also very nice.
Including one from Austria.
Yes, it was really cool. We found us at the hotel we went for a couple of drinks at afterwards, because we were told by some security guards to go to a certain pub to go and have a few drinks, even though I knew there was a Wetherspoons nearby.
Ah.
And that's what I was saying. I was like, there's a Wetherspoons nearby, we'll go there.
I didn't hear that.
But then someone was like, no, these security guards said we should go to this place
that
called the Blue Check.
Yeah.
And then
I was too drunk.
We went to the Blue Check, closed. So
yeah, we took ages to get there, it felt like.
So then we ended up going to this hotel for some drinks as well, which I imagine was not cheap. But we did get to meet this Austrian fan who was very nice.
Yep, and we met two other fans. So my...
Well, I'll tell you my getting home story first, because yours is way worse than mine.
Oh, do you think?
Way worse than mine.
It's certainly more comical.
So I...
Mine had the bigger dry cleaning bill.
I had to. So my phone died while I was trying to order an Uber to get home, because like it was in Wembley. I live in West London. So I was practically home. Like, I was a short drive back home. So I thought, I'm just going to order an Uber and get myself back. My phone died as I was waiting for the Uber to arrive, and I was like, dang it. I was like, man, the only thing I can do now is I'm going to have to get the tube back to Bond Street, change onto the Central Line, and go home. I was like, that's fine. I'm going into Central London so I can come back out of Central London, past Wembley, and go home. But that's fine. So that's what I did. I got on the tube with everyone. You know, we had some, you know, some jokes and japes while we were on the tube. I get off at Bond Street, and I'm walking up the escalator, and the lad says to me, he goes like, oh, all the eastbound trains are stopped now. And I was like, oh, I'm heading westbound. He's like, oh, no, you'll be okay then. And I was like, oh, awesome. So I ran downstairs, and I saw a tube go by that was going towards... it was going on the different line of the Central Line that I needed to get onto. And I thought, that's fine. And I stood there for a while, and I stood there waiting, and then this announcement kept coming over being like, there are no more trains now at Bond Street. And I was like, oh, no more westbound trains. And I walked upstairs and I said, are all the westbound trains stopped now? And he was like, yeah, I did tell you that. I was like, no, you told me the eastbound trains had stopped. He was like, oh no, the westbound ones have stopped as well. I was like, what are you trying to get to? And I told him, he was like, and he literally went, oh, yes. He was like, well, I don't know, mate, you have to get the bus. So I then left, and there was a moment, and I was, I'd had one too many dances at the event, and I walked outside on Bond Street, and the cold air just hit me in the face. I had this sudden realization, almost a sobering moment of like, I don't know how I'm getting home.
Ooh,
because
phone's dead.
I've got no other option. I can't contact anyone. I don't really know the buses that well in London.
Black Cabot.
Well, that's what I had
Baller.
To do.
Oh, geez.
So I then had to run across the road, and I got a cab. I told him where to go.
He also said OS.
Actually, Uber drivers always complain when I tell them where I live. When I'm in central London or an Uber, they always piss and moan that I'm taking them out of the way. This lad couldn't have been happier. He was very happy to take me back to my house, but it did cost me £60. £60 for what would have been a 10-minute ride if I'd have just got one at Wembley. I'm such an idiot. I'm the biggest idiot ever. And I was so annoyed at myself. I got through the door at like 1:30 because I'm an idiot. Such a massive idiot. So I was really annoyed.
Well, while that was happening, because we parted ways.
Your story's way worse than
mine.
It's
like sliding doors.
Yeah.
So I left you on that train to change at Green Park. And we were joined by two of the chaps who were in the hotel bar with us.
One of them was very sleepy.
Yeah, one was very sleepy. One was very excited.
Yeah.
They were like, they just walked out of Snow White. And we got the tube to Green Park, all of us. And then me and these two chaps left to change. And because they were going back to Bromley. They know who they are if they're listening. And we're going up the...
I hope they're listening.
We're going up the escalator. And the more awake one is in front of me, drinking from a Cronenberg.
It's a can of Foster's.
It's a can of Foster's.
Classy.
And he had a little plastic bag with some more beverages in. We were talking, and then going up the escalator, and it's quite a busy escalator as well. Mm-hmm. There were about 20, 30 people on this escalator. We were in the middle, and he started to sway.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, nah, I'd be all right. like time slowed down because this was probably only 3 seconds. But now he'll be okay. But then he kept on falling towards me. I was on the step behind him. He fell down. I was like, oh crap, because all of his weight was on me and his beer was leaking over my shoulder onto my jacket. So I grabbed both sides like freaking Spider-Man in Spider-Man 2. Firing off these webs to stop the big cut,
whip.
The train going off the side of the rails, and I hold onto the moving rubber bits on the side of the escalator, and I was gripping onto them, but there's not much purchase there, so I was gripping
not,
on as hard as I
can. They're not designed for that.
No, and I had this guy's full passed out dead weight on me. He wasn't passed out; he just lost balance, and I was just sliding down the rubber. And my hand, I could feel my hands burning because of the friction there. And I had to, and then I started to fall into the sleepy guy. Sleepy guy doesn't know what's hit him. He's just been woken up from like a 3 second micro nap.
Yep.
He starts to fall over too, backwards. We're all now falling over backwards, effectively down moving stairs. We were covering more stairs than we would have done if it was a normal flight. And we all fall on top of each other. I have to let go because the burns are so bad in my hands. And this guy, like, we're just all laying on top of each other. And the guy's beer is just empty in itself. I can just hear. I'm just down. People are yelling. Someone has hit the button that stops the escalator. I'm sandwiched between these two chaps. People are like, hating us.
Oh, I'd imagine, yeah.
Looking at us like, what a bunch of idiots.
Bear in mind, it's like, it'd be 12:30 at this point. You just want to get home. What you don't want is three drunken idiots falling down on an escalator because they'd had too many dances.
I would say one of them was really drunk and fell.
I know, but they don't see that.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
They just see three lads that have fallen over. Equal blame is spread across.
And amongst all this scorn and people, very kind people trying to help us up, there is just that glug, 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 glug. And I can feel and smell all of this. It was it must have just been opened just before they got on the escalator. It was full. and it was going all over me.
Oh, mate.
And yeah, it happened. And we got up, and the poor guy who fell was so apologetic. And I'm just like, honestly, it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to bury you on the podcast. But it's fine. These things happen. But he was mortified. And that made me feel bad.
Well, you would be, wouldn't you? He just spilled a whole beer on YouTube's Ollie Davis.
Yeah. So that was...
You've got like 14,000 followers on Twitter.
That was my fun journey home. It was funny.
Yeah.
It's for the lols, for the story.
Absolutely, yeah. Say. Podcast material, mate. But that's all we've got time for today. Sorry we didn't get to any of your emails. We will try and power through
some
of them.
We had better stories. We had stories of our own.
Absolutely. I'm going to try and power through some of these emails over the next couple of episodes because I've got quite a backlog of them, and I want to read them out. So we're going to get to them, and Fagador and myself will read some out on the NXT review as well, which is starting this week.
Exciting.
So we did mention, actually we didn't because it was in the outro for the video, but we did hit our 750 mark, as you'll have heard on Saturday's show. However, the Patreon snap is in effect, and we've now gone back down to 697. So what we've decided is that we are going to do the NXT reviews. We're going to start them this week, and we're going to do them for the month of October, because, you know, you guys have all backed us into doing this, so that's good.
Backed us in. backed us into a corner.
It sounded worse when I said it out loud. But you've backed us to be able to do this. So we're very happy to do that, and I'm really excited to do them. But we're going to do it for a month and then see if we can get back to that 750 mark and keep it there consistently. So that's the new goal that we're aiming for this month. So please do head over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk and give us a little, become a pledge hammer over there and help us do weekly NXT reviews on the reg. But that is all we've got time for today. We'll be back tomorrow for the SmackDown review. I don't think anything has been advertised for it yet. So we'll see what happens. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.